Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And we are enabled to live a much better life because the Lord our God is with us. No man can stop what God is doing. He thinks of everything. He knows what's coming. If you take a cunning warrior, a mighty warrior that knows his enemy and where he's going and where he's coming from, he'll be prepared to work against every endeavor of the enemy, because he knows the enemy, he knows where he's coming from, he knows his capabilities, and then the mighty warrior knows his capabilities and where to put his best soldiers and where to put his most watchful soldiers and where to put his sharpshooters. The enemy has no chance of survival. The Lord saw what was coming a long time ago, and he's mightily moving by his Spirit, and he knows what to do. The temptation against man has been to not link up with the perfect plan of God. Men get excited about the wonderful things they learn from the Lord, and that doesn't mean you're following his instruction. People, you know, my pastor said something a long time ago, many years ago anyway, that sometimes people have faith accidents. They get in faith and everything's right and God can move. For once, God can move in their life. When you have any form of success, it's a good idea to go and talk to the Lord about it. Gain his insights. You cannot trust God unless you get to know him. You can have faith in his word, and you'll trust his word, which is trusting God. But when he tells you to do something specific, that's where men fail. That's the only reason they don't follow through with what God has given them to do. They lack the training it takes to follow God. And the Lord he said this is the biggest problem in the church. Now, this was back in 1990 when he told me this. He said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. It may have been 91. It was in the early 90s when the Lord told me that. And people, this was, you know, still the charismatic movement going on. People were still getting saved, full of the Holy Ghost, enjoying the Lord, learning of the Lord. But they didn't see themselves as they are in him. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And you can do mighty things through Christ who strengthens you. People, they were learning these things, and they were on the right track to being stronger. They were winning in their battles against the enemy. And they didn't know all the wiles of the enemy. And I had some success in warfare, and I was learning how to battle. And I was learning how my enemy thinks, because I was watching my Lord and King. But my assignment was to expose to people the need to follow God. Not organizational agendas, not what previous pastors and their ministries have done, but follow God. And then there were men that people would flock to and listen to them all over the country. They would come from everywhere just to hear them preach. And we would buy their tapes and books, and we talk about it, listen to them faithfully, and they were good. I used to listen to Miles Monroe and others, and when Kenneth Kagan would come to town, people would flock from everywhere, come from other states and listen. They were hungry for the word. And they were a blessing, men of God. But following God following through with what he says. I never heard many people talk about it. Some people will come close to talking about it, but they talk principles more than that. And the principles were very important. This is how I learned to follow God. I learned to follow God by going in his presence. Now, you can learn from people. There are people that people don't know about, but they are a blessing. At the church, at the local church I was going to, Elder Lewis used to worship God. And Greg learned to worship God, but Greg would spend time in prayer and he would worship the Lord. He was my age. But that's what he did. And he would usher us into God's presence. So I learned, this Methodist kid would learn to go in God's presence. And every church has its own form of foundation. In the Methodist church, people were dedicated to the Lord. And they were not like holiness people as much, or Pentecostal people. They didn't dive into the mighty power of God like the holiness people did. And they were a blessing in their own way. And they taught principles that were good. And again, people have faith accidents. I don't mean it derogatorily. I mean, it's really, they didn't know all the ins and outs of walking in faith. But sometimes they would do the right things and it would line up, and then God would take advantage of that moment of time and bless them. And people had, they would move, God would move in their lives. And I not to mention, people would stand on the word sometime, and it wasn't an accident. And people of every denomination can do it and have done it. I heard about a Baptist lady. She did not want her son to go to Vietnam, and she asked God to get Elder Lewis told me she prayed him off the plane. She would not let up. She continued to pray and believe God that he would not go to Vietnam, because she didn't want him killed like others that she knew. And she believed God, and they turned that plane around and brought him back. And he went back home. And this really happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And they turned that plane around and brought him back. And he went back home to his mother. And I don't think he was dishonorably discharged. It could have been a medical reason or something. She prayed him off the plane, and God moved and honored her faith. Now, as we go forward in the Lord, doing his mighty word, we can learn. But following God is another, it's a whole nother thing entirely. It involves faith. In order to get on board with God, I had to speak the word. I learned to confess the word of God from Charles Capps. That was another element that I needed. I could control my will. I could control the things that I needed to control. I could get on board with God. And I could stay on board with God by confessing the word. And he taught it well. He said it won't happen just because you say it, but saying it is involved with working it. And he taught, there's so much teaching on confessing the word of God. He taught so many attributes of, or so many elements, so much wisdom involved in speaking the word. And he was teaching people that was trying to get on board. And he was good at it. He was anointed for this. See, when God anoints people for something, if you want that knowledge, you got to see them. The Holy Spirit can teach you one-on-one. But the people that he put in place, hear me good, the people he put in place, it's up to you to go and take what you need. He had an element that I needed to defeat the enemy like I really wanted to. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, he'll put something in place and then he'll guide you to it. He'll just guide you to it. And you just have to have enough sense to receive the wisdom. He'll guide you to it. It's beautiful. All the things of God are that way. when God anoint people for something and give a, he gave that man an assignment, and I listened to him faithfully. Now, people that receive assignments and they are anointed to do this, to do what they're doing. That doesn't mean that they know everything there is to know about God. But they'll do that assignment right. And again, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So whatever's lacking, God can make the difference when he has to. But people are suffering unnecessarily so because they don't yield to the Lord. They don't learn to follow him. They don't learn to pay attention to the guidance of God. And because of that, when the Lord would show them other greater things, they stall out. And then when God do give them an assignment that would show them how mighty he'll be in their life, and they let it drop and stall out and ask others what they think, and it's going to always be what they believe, whatever it is. When you ask a man what he thinks, it's going to be based on what he thinks, not always what God is doing. And many times God will lead us to do something that nobody has ever seen. And sometimes the things the Lord will lead you to will look small. And because it looks small, people will question it, not realizing that everything of God, including Jesus Christ, started out in seed form. That's why Zechariah said, don't despise small beginnings. Don't be afraid of small beginnings. It's going to grow. Oak trees, you know, I picked up an acorn this week. Little old bitty thing. Smaller than my thumb. And it becomes a tree that makes hard wood. You can make good things out of oak wood. It's important to not despise small beginnings. I promise you this, whatever's of God, it won't stay that way. And God can make it look small if he needs it to look small for a very long time. And the only way you'll understand this kind of wisdom is talk to the Lord. You have to do what he's doing. Remember, he's the mighty soldier. He knows where the enemy's coming. He told us what the enemy is going to do. He's going to arise into a man that's going to try to dominate the world with 10 mighty nations. And he's going to have his own false prophet. And he's going to try to take over the whole world. He's going to make a covenant with Israel and break it. He knows what the enemy is up to. And the enemy will only go so far. But the enemy can't do it if the church says no. If people rise up, follow God, and obey him, we can stall the enemy out until Jesus comes. And I wonder if that's what's happening, because it's really time for him to appear. The false prophet's already been made known and exposed. The Holy Spirit already exposed the Pope. He is the false prophet. And he's old. And I wonder, is did the Lord stall the church, stall it out? He can stall it out till Christ come and still keep his word. Because in Thessalonians, Paul said, he that letteth will let. In order for the enemy to operate, he has to have ignorant people. The Christians have to not know who they are in Christ. They have to be disobedient to Christ. They have to be weak and sickly. He can't get one over on mighty men and women of God. Remember this, there was only 10 men. I mean, if there were only 10 men in Sodom and Gomorrah, as wicked as those cities were, God would have spared them. Otherwise, if the church does go weak and the Lord remove them, Then the enemy can take over. The strong man is gone. And I don't, you know, I want to know these things, but I want to be on board. I pay more attention to the Lord's guide. What is he bringing to me? All my questions, they're, you know, I want to know as much as I can. I don't want to interrupt what God is doing by speculation. But if the enemy can't get his system to work, that's too bad for him. I love the Lord. I don't like the enemy. I don't like his rape of humanity. I hate everything about Satan. He should have stayed an angel. He's my enemy. And he'll always be an enemy because he will not turn. And angels don't repent if they sin. Some of them would like to. They would like to be washed in the blood and made new again. But they went against God unprovoked. And they knew better. They didn't keep their first estate. We must keep our salvation. We must not operate against the living God and become an enemy against him. That's what sin will do if we let it in our lives. If we let that leaven in our lives, it'll kill us. It'll ruin us from the inside out. It'll strip away your desire to know God, to understand him, to gain understanding, to gain knowledge, to learn how to endure, to learn how to survive. All of these things take love. But with the love of the world, the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word and we become unfruitful, unknowledgeable. We start digressing and over time become a monster. People who can see a move of God and hate it. People who can see a move of the Holy Spirit and hate it. That's what sin will do. It will harden your heart so hard. People say, well, how do people get to that point? I remember when they were on fire for the Lord. How could a person go that low? To believe that there's no hell. To believe that everybody's going to heaven. No matter what they do. How can people get that low to deny the life of the Word of God? That happens a drop at a time. Just like water damage on a good roof. One loose nail, the water gets through and it rots wood. And then it causes mold and mildew problems. And it rots wood. And before you know it, the whole roof is no good. One drop at a time. That's how it happens. Erosion starts small, just like we start in seed form. So does sin. You have to drive the Canaanites out of the promised land. You have to drive the wickedness out of your heart by the word of God. You have to receive the word of God, do the word of God, obey the word of God, and you can win. Now, following God is something much greater than it's using all of God's word, focusing it on obedience. It's taking the things that God brought to you and doing something with it. It's receiving the rules that go with the assignment. Every assignment has its own rules. It takes obedience. Sometimes you have to go to where God wants you to be. Some anointings or assignments are territorial. You can only do them. You have to move to where God wants to use you. You have to be obedient to do that. And when you get there, you have to keep doing what God's saying do. Following God is easy. All it is obeying what the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart and not letting it drop. It's a decision to put your first priority in Him. It's a decision to do what He say do. He said, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added. This is for many reasons. Some prosperity is stalled until you go forward. God can't prosper you in disobedience. If he said something, do it. If you're not doing it, you're stalling out the prosperity that he would give you. And then you're going to have to beg for money, like most preachers do. The assignment that God give you is the one you have to work with. And the way God give you to do it is the way you have to do it. I'm not trying to be like other ministers. The ministry that God gave me, before he talked to me about this assignment that I'm doing, I read a book by Lester Sumrall, All the Great Men and Women of God. I read it. And I finished it on the beach. After we left the beach, I read the last part of the chapter in the hotel room. It was so interesting. I read most of that book on the beach. And then we went back to the hotel room. I finished it up before we ate. And when I closed the book, I said, Lord, I want you to teach me something. Now, you taught me how to follow you. I had a business. Now I got a job, and you called me to be an apostle. What do you want me to do? What's your perfect will for my life? He called me to be an apostle, but he said, my perfect will is for you to have your own business. And I remembered how God was guiding me to have my own business years ago. And when Shana went in the hospital for 4 days and had a $10,000 bill, I wanted insurance. And I eventually got a job for many reasons. Not just for insurance, but for many reasons. The Lord allowed me to get a job. I was not in his perfect will when I got that job. But I learned some things. The job turned out to be good for me, but it wasn't the perfect will of God. I said, well, Lord, where do I go from here? What do I do now? I've taken the job, and I need it. And he said, right now, your life, it wouldn't be good for you to quit your job and do a business. But I went and got my business license again, and I started a business, because he knew that for me to do the radio like he wanted, I would have to work and pay for it. And I knew the church was not going to help me, and it didn't. I got very little offerings from any church. And I knew this. I knew it from my heart. I knew I was going to have to work and do it. But that's what God gave me, and there's a reason for it. Don't despise small beginnings. But God can take something and use it. When you follow him and the protocols of his love, he'll show you the ins and outs and why he does things a certain way. And you're going to love it. It's going to be good. Now, I happen to be out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.